Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. And this morning, we're wrapping up a Packers victory, 30-23, over the Carolina Panthers yesterday. Packers going to 2-0 on the season. 64% of the teams in the NFL that start 2-0 make the playoffs. That's got to be good news, right? 64%? Something like that. 112 out of 175. And we're going to be asking Packers tight end Tom Crabtree about the team's chances for the playoffs already when he joins us. Tom will be joining us at 8:45 a.m. here on Railbird Central. But let's get right to it. Thank you for joining us. If you want to comment, please feel free to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, and your comments will show up on the live blog, and your comments are being approved on our live blog as well this morning. We follow along every Railbird Central morning on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays with the Packers daily links at the top of the live blog. I left a link to this morning's Packers daily links, and the top story today, if you click it, open it. In addition to a Packers victory, we got to congratulate wide receiver Donald Driver on becoming the franchise's all-time receiving yardage record holder yesterday. Kind of got lost amid all the hoopla surrounding Cam Newton, I suppose. That was the story of the day from a national standpoint. How was Cam Newton going to do? And the Packers ended up, you know, stealing his thunder, I suppose. But it kind of got lost, I think, a little bit, partially because Donald Driver had just one reception on the game. One reception for 10 yards. It was pretty big, though. Came late in the game, late in the third quarter. The Packers with the lead, you know, trying to extend their lead for one, milk the clock for another, and get into the end zone on top of it. But he gets the record with a 10-yard reception from Aaron Rodgers and breaks James Lofton's all-time receiving yardage record in Green Bay Packers history. Not NFL history, Packers history. But that's still pretty good considering the long storied history of your Green Bay Packers. Fantastic. So congratulations to Donald Driver. You know, and hopefully nobody goes to Donald Driver and asks him about having just one catch this week. As Aaron Rodgers pointed out, and you know, people might not like to do what they're told. But Aaron Rodgers was right last week. Nobody should be going to the person who has one catch and asking them why they have only one catch. There's so many receiving weapons on this team. Every week, somebody's going to have one catch or no catch. This week is Donald Driver, and on the live blog is Kyle Kuzno. K. Kuzno, 9 points out. Same with Jordy. 2 targets, 1 catch. Yeah, but Jordy Nelson's one catch went for 80-plus yards and a touchdown. So that's, you know, I think Jordy's happy with that. You know, the one down point from the receiving game, though, that I can see, I can point out, would be that the Greg Jennings targets. I think the targets, what was Greg Jennings targeted like 8 times, 7 times yesterday, but only had 2 catches? That was a little bit disconcerting. Not like it's a major ordeal here. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers just wasn't quite on yesterday. He didn't quite have it. You know, he threw behind some receivers. That back shoulder throw wasn't working. That got so much attention this past week. You know, no big deal. Aaron Rodgers is going to rebound. But, you know, just Jamie Jorvis on her live blog says, GJ and Rodgers weren't in sync. They weren't, you know, just wasn't working yesterday. And I think that prevented the Packers from, you know, putting the game out of reach, out of control. You know, the Packers ended up winning by a touchdown. You know, the spread on the game was something like 9.5. They didn't cover the spread. And I think a lot of people were thinking that it was going to be a whole lot more than that. A whole lot more than 9.5. But you know what? The Packers came away with the victory. Most fans could care less what Vegas has to say about the game. The Packers are 2-0. Meanwhile, third division foe next week, Chicago Bears, is 1-1 after a loss to the New Orleans Saints on Sunday. The Vikings 0-2 now, right? But the Detroit Lions over there in Detroit, 2-0. We'll worry about them later. Kevin says on our live blog, Bears are going to be tough in Chicago. Green Bay has to shut down Forte in the passing game. Forte was targeted 14 times yesterday versus the Saints. Yeah, running backs out of the backfield have hurt the Packers in the passing game so far from a defensive standpoint. Darren Sproles, especially in week one against the Saints. You know, A.J. Hawk looked a little foolish trying to, keep up with him out of the backfield in week one. You know, and not that A.J. Hawk's alone. A lot of inside linebackers look foolish trying to cover Darren Sproles. But, you know, it's just a matchup teams are able to take advantage of when they play the Packers defense. And even yesterday, you know, the Panthers working their running backs in the passing game, screens and other things like that, having some success. Kevin says A.J. Hawk and Desmond Bishop are going to have their hands full next week. Yes, they are. They're going to have their hands full, that's for sure. We'll see how they live up to the task and how Dom Capers game plans to defend that. But looking back elsewhere in the Packers Daily Links today, after the Donald Driver story, the next one, safety Nick Collins. I suppose it's appropriate to give an update on him. Safety Nick Collins stayed overnight in a Charlotte hospital last night after taking a shot to the head. Kind of got his neck compressed a little bit, I guess you could say. Trying to make a tackle. But the prognosis is good. Everything they say, he has movement in all his extremities, and it's just, I think they use the term standard protocol for staying back. When the rest of the team returned to Green Bay, Nick Collins stayed overnight in the hospital, but he'll be okay. From all indications, he's going to be traveling back to Green Bay on his own, I presume, or maybe with family today, and he'll be fine. I think from, a health standpoint, I suppose the more pressing matter might be not that, I mean, his health is certainly concern number one, but, as far as looking forward to this Bears game, as we've mentioned already, you know, what his status is going to be next week, and I couldn't, I would have to think he'll be doubtful after a serious injury like this. I mean, who knows? Maybe it was just a temporary thing, and he'll bounce right back. Maybe after getting a little rest this week, he'll be able to play next week. I don't know. I mean, well, we will get updates as the week goes on. I mean, nobody's going to know right now what Nick Collins' status is for Sunday here on Monday. You know, I'm sure head coach Mike McCarthy is going to have an update here at 3 o'clock p.m. his press conference is today. And the Packers practice again on Wednesday. I'm sure there will be another update then. But even on Wednesday, you're not going to know totally what Nick Collins' status is unless they rule him out totally. And that could be a concern when you look at Tremont Williams as well. You know, Tremont Williams sat out yesterday's game, obviously. You know, reports coming from, I believe, the Journal Sentinel, ESPNMilwaukee.com, saying that he was close to going. Tremont Williams was close yesterday, but no cigar. You know, Bobby asks on our live blog, will Tremont play versus the Bears? That's the million-dollar question right now. Will he play? I don't know. I mean, Tremont Williams said he was close. So, you know, given that he's got, you know, today, tomorrow to rest totally, Packers don't get back to the practice field till Wednesday, you'd think they might ease Tremont Williams back this week. Maybe he doesn't even practice Wednesday. I don't know. Maybe he does. And then kind of his workload increases as the week goes on. That's what I could foresee happening. And maybe he will be ready. But boy, if he doesn't, Packers secondary might be a little bit thin. Anyhow, we're getting ready to have a live interview with Packers tight end Tom Crabtree here on Railbird Central. We're going to have this every Monday morning live at 8:45 a.m. Lambeau time, right after the games. Unless the Packers play on Monday Night Football or something like that, we're going to have live interviews with Tom Crabtree breaking down the previous game every Monday morning. I'm going to take a break here, get Tom on the phone. When we come back, we'll be talking to the man himself live. So hang with us here, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Railbird Central, and on the phone live right now, we have Packers tight end Tom Crabtree. Tom, do you get the feeling that it's difficult to win on the road anywhere in the NFL, no matter who the opponent is?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, yesterday the Panthers fans were definitely fired up, and, you know, I think anywhere you go on the road in this league, the fans are going to be fired up, they're going to be loud, and it's going to pump up the other team and kind of, you know, get their emotions high. And, I think no matter what, it's definitely a big accomplishment to win on the road in this league.
You know, it's been reported that 112 out of the last 175 teams to start the season 2-0 make the playoffs. I think Adam Schefter of ESPN had that statistic. Some like 64% of teams that start 2-0 make the playoffs. Now, knowing that information, is there any risk of complacency, thinking that there's a better chance than not the Packers are going to make the playoffs this year?
You know, we're definitely just taking it one game at a time. We're not gonna kind of base the rest of our season and how we think things will go on our first two games. I mean, it's definitely helps to come out of the gates fast and, you know, start 2-0. That's huge. But at the same time, you know, anything can happen in this league, and it's definitely a long season. So there's a lot left to be decided.
You know, that being said, though, is there a feeling this is a playoff team and a team that can do well?
Yeah, definitely. I think we have that confidence, and you know, I think as a team as a whole, we have the confidence that, you know, we belong in the playoffs and at the top of this league, and that's kind of how we approach every week. That we belong up top, and everybody's kind of gunning for us. So
we're talking to Tom Crabtree, Packers tight end, right here on Railbird Central. Tom, you lined up in the I formation and the inverted wishbone as a lead blocker yesterday against the Panthers. Can you tell us a little bit more about your new role?
It may look a lot different on TV, you know, seeing a tight end in that fullback position, but really, I think when it comes down to it, it's really not a whole lot different than what we've done as tight ends in the past. You know, there's a little different mindset, playing more of a true fullback position, but, you know, I think when it comes down to it, we all kind of are used to that role and kind of used to that. So, know, it's cool to line up back there. It gives me a little more of a different mindset. Like, I want to go, you know, smash somebody's head even more now that I'm in, like, a true fullback position. But it's pretty cool in that regard.
You were a little coy with us last week. I asked you if you were going to line up in the eye, and you said you didn't know. I think you were being a little coy with us.
No, I really didn't know. I told you. I said you don't know what's going to happen week to week, and hey, there we go. It happened the next week, and I was being straight up with you.
This sounds good. Fair enough. A week ago, we talked about the coverage units on special teams, and we saw a much better job this week in covering kicks and covering punts. What was the difference?
I think the biggest thing was, I think I may have mentioned this last week, we just trust each other as a unit that each guy's going to get their job done. The guy next to you, you know, just trust him that, you know, if you're running downfield trying to make a tackle, trust that the other guy's going to be where he needs to be. And I think that's what it came down to yesterday. And then, of course, you know, Tim doing a great job punting the ball, and kickoff cover, kind of same idea as everybody staying in their lanes, doing their job. So,
one tough question, Tom. Charles Johnson got around the edge on you to get to Aaron Rodgers yesterday. What do you take away from that play as a learning experience?
You know, it would, more than anything, I think just not getting too comfortable and not expecting, not always, you know, expecting to get a certain look or a certain stunt from the D-line. So I think that's what it came down to on that. I was expecting something from him and got something else, and had myself in a bad position. And, you know, that's going to happen. And I'm pretty excited to watch the film, see exactly what happened, and kind of learn from it and figure out how to prevent that from happening in the future.
I think your fans think you'll be able to turn it around. Finally, Tom, next week's game is against the Chicago Bears. Do you think the rivalry has been taken up a notch given the high-profile status of the last two meetings against the Bears, last game of the regular season last year, the must-win to get into the playoffs, and then again in the NFC Championship game? Has this rivalry been taken up a notch?
Yeah, I think there's no denying that. You know, anytime two teams are definitely at the top of their game like that and battling each other for, you know, and the stakes are that high, I think it definitely adds a little bit to the rivalry. We're definitely pumped up to get a chance at them again, and I'm sure they are too.
Very good, Tom. Thank you so much. Congratulations on a win. Good luck next week against the Bears, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
All right, thank you. Sounds good. I appreciate you having me.
Thank you. Take care. Tom Crabtree, Packers tight end, joining us here on Railbird Central. Thanks to him so much for joining us, as he will every Monday here on Railbird Central. Sorry for the little audio problem at the very beginning. Looks like we got it squared away pretty quick, though. So that is fantastic. Tom put it well as far as next week. You know, this rivalry being intensified. You know, with the Chicago Bears coming up next week. This is a game that, you know, had such important implications last year. You know, that must-win game to get in the playoffs, meeting them again for the right to go to the Super Bowl. Some really high-profile matchups here against the Chicago Bears. We'll get into that more next week or later this week on Railbird Central. We don't want to preview the Bears too much here on a Monday. We still got Wednesday and Friday to do that. If you want to call into the show here as we wrap up, the phone number is area code 646-797-2909. If anybody wants to give their thoughts on the Packers, on Tom Crabtree, on the Chicago Bears, on the Carolina Panthers, on Cam Newton, anything, feel free to call into the show here. And, you know, as we continue to wrap up the Packers' victory over the Carolina Panthers yesterday. Just briefly mentioned, I think, at the beginning of the show, the Packers defense giving up quite a bit of yardage yesterday. But really, you know, there's a very good article if you go to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, jsonline.com, by Bob McGinn, the world-famous Bob McGinn Packers reporter, about the Packers' red zone defense yesterday. You know, what was it? The Panthers went into the Packers' red zone five times, or was it six times, and only came away with one touchdown yesterday. You know, we're seeing a bend but don't break defense, and I think this is what we saw with the Packers last year as well. You know, a team that wasn't perfect last year. In fact, the best defense under Dom Capers might have actually been his best year in 2009, I think. You know, overall, at least from a statistical standpoint, you know, last year the pass defense did so well, and it was the run defense that hurt a little bit. But, you know, they kept teams out of the end zone when it counted, and of course went on to win the Super Bowl. And so far this year, you know, they're giving up yardage, but what really matters is they're keeping teams off the scoreboard, and especially when it counts, especially when the opponents get into the red zone. You know, they're forcing them to either turn the ball over or stop them on fourth down or, you know, kick a field goal. And the Packers will, you know, they're fine with that, I think, you know, kicking field. I mean, no points is better than some points, certainly. But, you know, kicking field goals, you know, that's just fine. If you want to, you're going to hold them to seven or three instead of seven, that's fine. Jamie Jor's comments on our live blog, there was better tackling yesterday. Still needs improvement, but definitely better from week one. I would agree with that, certainly. The tackling was very poor in week one, it seemed like. You know, which hasn't been a big problem in the past for the Packers. You know, fundamentals, things like that. But it happened to be in week one. It improved. Still a ways to go, I suppose. Max Ginsburg comments the pass rush has to improve. That as well. Pass rush needs to get home a little bit more. Not to say that it's, you know, this dire straits on the pass rush. It just hasn't been as good as last year, I would say. You know, I think people haven't seen Clay Matthews break out yet. And that's, you know, they're waiting for that. You know, Clay Matthews had double-digit sacks last year, or, you know, 13 and a half, I think the final number was, from the regular season. And what does Clay Matthews have this year? Does he have one in each game? He only had one yesterday, I know. So, you know, people are waiting for a breakout from the pass rush. And, you know, it's not like it's been a liability. But, you know, every aspect of the defense hasn't been solid. You know, they've been, you know, giving up yards in the secondary. But again, it's been the bend but don't break. You know, Charles Woodson, he gave up a lot of yardage to Steve Smith yesterday. You know, Steve Smith, what he had over 150 yards receiving, I think. Fantasy football players know that's a hell of a fantasy football day. But when Charles Woodson comes up with the turnovers, with the interceptions, with the fumble recoveries, you know, that's all you can ask for. I mean, turnovers are key. Turnovers are key. You win the turnover game, you win in the NFL. It's almost, you know, it's like 80% of the time. You win the turnover battle, you win the game 80% of the time. And it's other factors that, you know, more minorly impact the outcome of a game. Comment from Matt. Any thoughts on who replaces West on the practice squad? You know, good point here. Just, you know, kind of overlooked in the game yesterday. Apparently, Chasten West tweeted that he's now a member of the Jacksonville Jaguars. They've signed him off the Packers practice squad. So no longer is Chasten West with the Packers. So who do the Packers replace him with? you know, I don't know. But, you know, Max Ginsburg asked, is Shaky Smithson still out there? Shaky Smithson is on injured reserve, so he's not an option. I have to think that the Packers are going to go defense on the practice squad. They still have Torrey Gurley, you know, as a wide receiver on their practice squad. But I believe, if I'm correct, you know, there's an 8-man practice squad, and before West left, it was 7 offensive players and 1 defensive player. I think the only defensive player on the practice squad was Brandon Ross, the cornerback, Brandon. Looks like Brandon, but reads Brandon. Brandon Ross. You know, I just think there was this overwhelming discrepancy between offensive players and defensive players. And you would think that, you know, the Packers might bring in somebody on the defensive side. You know, particularly, I think they're starting to get a little thin on the defensive line. Mike Neal is obviously out several weeks for the Packers. And Ryan Pickett got hurt on Sunday. It kind of got lost or overshadowed with the serious Nick Collins injury, or at least it, you know, appeared serious, or, you know, it just something you can't take chances with when you hurt your neck. So Ryan Pickett got hurt yesterday, and now all of a sudden it, you know, I don't know what Ryan Pickett's status is. Maybe they said he sprained his foot. So, you know, if it's not serious, you know, maybe it's something he can play this upcoming week, but even so, all of a sudden the Packers D-line looks a little bit thin. They might, you know, want some depth on the defensive line. Kevin here on the live blog comments, maybe they sign Ross to the practice squad. And that's a very good point. I think Jay Ross is still out there, the guy who spent training camp with the Packers. He might be an option. Or, you know, maybe the Packers, you know, they just go the street free agent route and looking for other guys who have been cut, who were in other teams, practice squads, things like that. So we will see. I'm sure they'll make a move before Wednesday's practice and bring in someone else for the practice squad. And Max Ginsburg says that's the first time the Packers D-line has ever been referred to as thin. The depth is thin. Maybe not the Packers defensive linemen themselves. The depth is thin. Thanks much. That's it, folks. Railbird Central every Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 8:30 to 9 o'clock a.m. Central Time here at Cheesehead TV. Thanks so much to our moderator, Jamie Jors, this morning. And you know, thanks to Packers tight end Tom Crabtree for joining us. So thanks a lot, and we will see you on Wednesday morning. Take care, everyone. Go Pack, go.